Hallelujah. Praise God. The message that the Lord put on my heart was transformation. And transformation always starts with repentance. We're going to look at Matthew 4:17. I'm going to be reading all of my verses from the New King James Version unless I tell you otherwise. Okay, Matthew 4:17, and from that time, and that was when Jesus was baptized, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Sin requires repentance. Repentance means to recognize and regret the sin, to turn and go the other way. Repentance is a basic principle in God's kingdom, whether it's when we're first born again or when we save after we're born again. And we're going to look at some scriptures about when we first repent. We're going to James 3:16. It says, "For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." Self-seeking is really the foundation of all sin. We want our way. I want my way. I want to do my thing. And that's where all sin starts. When we're born again, basically we're saying, "Jesus, I invite you to be the Lord of my life, the boss of my life. I invite you to rule and reign in my life." Hallelujah. Going to Galatians 5:19-21, and we're going to do this in New Living Translation, and it kind of gives a partial list of some sins of the flesh. It says, "When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling." Has anybody ever quarreled? Does anybody have kids? Hallelujah. "Quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, and wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have told you before, that anyone living," and this is present tense, it's not future, this is present tense, "anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God." All sin is of the kingdom of darkness, and you can't live in the kingdom of darkness and live in the kingdom of light all the time. That's why it's important that, you know, as we fall into sin in whatever area, that we quickly repent and move right back into the kingdom of light. Philippians 4:6 tells us not to worry. Therefore, worry is a sin because we're not putting our trust in God. Jesus told us many times not to judge others, so judgmental, contemning attitude toward others is a sin. Rebellion, disobedience, unbelief, fear, gossip are also sins. And here's one in James 4:17. It says, "Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin." So we see there's all kinds of sins around. We put sin into categories. We say, "Well, this is a bad sin, and this is a, you know, a little white lie. This is a bad sin and a good sin." But really, God puts all sin in the same category, whether it's anger or worry or a judgmental, condemning attitude. All of that is sin, and it's all the same to God. We're going to look at some scriptures about first repentance at salvation, and we're going to look at Acts 2:38. "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission.'" And their remission means for the freedom, pardon, deliverance, forgiveness, liberty of sins. Hallelujah. It's wonderful to be liberated from sins. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful thing. "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And then we're going to Acts 3:19. And it says, "Repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out." Yes. "So that times of refreshing can come in the Spirit of the Lord. When our sins are blotted out, it's time for a party. It's just time. It's a refreshing time, and it's when the presence of the Lord can come in and refresh us. And there's also a provision for sin after we're born again. Luke 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sin is a heavy load. Even if our mind overlooks it, or if we make excuses for it, our subconscious knows. And there's an inward guilt. And guilt is a poison to the soul and to the body. You know, a lot of times guilt and grief, you know, will open things up to come and attack even our body. Acknowledging sin and repenting has a wonderful liberating effect on us. Hallelujah. While we know that God's forgiveness has forgiven us, sometimes there's a period of forgiving ourselves. For one thing, we have an enemy named Satan that comes back and, you know, just tries to torment us with the past, and we just need to tell him, that's past. I'm not living there anymore. That's past. And we need to fill our minds with the Word of God. We need to worship the Lord, praise the Lord. And that puts, you know, that just is freeing to us. Hallelujah. Submitting to God gives us power to resist the devil. James 4:7 says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So being submitted to God gives us power to resist the devil, and he has no option other than to flee. Amen. Besides personal repentance, there's also what's known as identificational repentance. In other words, we identify with other sins. When King Josiah, who was a righteous man, a righteous king, began to reign, he repented of the sins of his nation and his forefathers, even though there's no indication that he ever participated in any of that sin. He wasn't a sinful man, but he came to a place of repentance, and we're going to read about that in 2 Kings 22:11, and then we'll drop down to verse 19. Verse 11, now it happened when King Josiah heard the words of the book of the law that he tore his clothes. In the Old Testament, that was one of the ways that people came to repentance. They would cry down, you know, rip their clothes and weep and wail before the Lord. That was a sign of repentance. And when he saw how badly Israel had come short of God's plans and purpose, he tore his clothes in repentance. Down to verse 19. It says, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse, and you tore your clothes and wept before me, and I've also heard you, says the Lord. Satan can gain access through personal or corporate sin to establish strongholds that oppose God's plan for a family, for a territory, or for a nation. So personal or corporate sin opens the door for the enemy to come in. And we're going to look at just a few of those sins. One of them is idolatry, and idolatry is where we have physically or spiritually bowed down and exalted a carved image or anything or anyone more than God. You know, many things can be an idol in our life, that we worship that thing or that person more than we worship God. That's idolatry. Another sin that can bring open the door to the enemy is bloodshed. The first recorded murder in the Bible was that of Cain killing his brother Abel. In Genesis 4:10, God said to Cain, what have you done? I hear your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. And from this, we see that bloodshed can affect the very ground on which the violence occurred. curses on physical land often gain a foothold through violence and bloodshed. And then there's another sin, there's sexual sins, immorality and perversion. The only sexual relationship ordained and blessed by God is the marriage between a man and a woman. That's the word. That's what the Bible says. And I know somebody that's bigger than the Supreme Court. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And then there's covenant breaking. In King Saul's time, they broke covenant with the Gibeonites. They had made a covenant with the Gibeonites, and they broke that covenant, and a great famine came on Israel because of that broken covenant. And there's a whole lot of ways of breaking covenants. Divorce is a breaking of covenant. You've made a covenant before God, and that's a breaking of covenant. There's when our country was in its earliest days, early time, the United States broke 350 treaties with the Native people. That's broken covenants. Years ago, when we first moved to Douglas, the Lord showed Calvin that the stronghold, strong man over Douglas was Judas, the betrayer of the brethren, which can include broken covenants, people breaking covenant with one another, betraying one another. And that's been a stronghold in our community. And it goes back, you know, for many, many years. There's been broken covenants between Mexico and the United States. Hallelujah. Those are just a few things that can affect a land. We're going to Ezekiel 22:30. And it's the Lord speaking, and he said, "So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on the behalf of the land that I should not destroy it, but I found no one." God was looking for a person to stand in the gap, and he found no one. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 6, and we're going to read 1 through 8, and we're going to see a different story. It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. They were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Their voices shook the temple to its foundation, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, "It's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's army." When the presence of the Lord comes in, we're very aware of our shortcomings. Hallelujah. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips and with it said, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven." Hallelujah. That's wonderful, wonderful news. Then I heard the Lord asking, "Whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Whom will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." When God is looking for somebody to stand in the gap for their family, for their city, for their territory, for their nation, when God's looking for someone, what are we supposed to say? "Here I am, Lord, send me." Amen. We're going to 2 Chronicles 7:14. And it says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. The healing of our land depends on us. It rests right here. Hallelujah. God's people responding right will heal the land. As God reveals strongholds of the enemy in our territory, we need to repent, stand in the gap, and this will release the floodgates of revival. And it will take us as a community out of darkness and into the glorious light. Hallelujah. And repentance is not only saying I'm sorry, but it's turning the other way. And it's a time for us, if we need to repent, repent. But then put our focus and intention on the Lord and the light. And that's where we will progress into victory. Amen. Worship is our most powerful weapon against the enemy. There's no weapon that's greater than worship. Because when we worship God, He is exalted. And it's like the light comes. He's wherever people are worshiping. God is there. And when we worship, it's just like it dispels the darkness. It just pushes back the darkness, worship. And so if you're having a trouble, if you're facing challenges, you know, we just need to worship God and worship God and worship God. Hallelujah. And that's our victory. And now we're going to turn and look at the glory side, the light side of free from sin, free from guilt, hallelujah, and having our eyes on the Lord. We're going to 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Hallelujah. But we with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So when we put our attention on the glory of the Lord, on His light, on His goodness, that's where we're transformed. As we look, as we behold His beauty, as we behold His light, as we behold His glory, we are changed also from glory to glory. It's important to have our focus in the right place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Philippians 3:13-14. And it says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or arrived, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. It's important, you know, when we've repented of something, it's important to leave it there. Don't pick it up again. Don't go back. Don't just repent over and over and over because that means you didn't believe God in the first place. Leave it there. Repent. Leave it there. Leave it behind you and look to the goal. Look at where you're going. Keep your attention in front of you. If you drove a car always looking in the rear view mirror, what would happen? You'd be running into everything. You'd be wrecking. You know, we don't look back. We look in front of us. We look toward the goal. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Focusing on the darkness pulls us back into the darkness, while focusing on the light draws us to the light. Don't live as a reaction to darkness, but rather live as a response to light. Amen. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on these things of this earth. We're to set our mind on God, on the kingdom of God, on the light, on the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what's good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Hallelujah. We need to renew our minds, and we do that by looking to the Word, by looking to Jesus. Hallelujah. As we look to Jesus, we become like Jesus. As we look at His Word, that Word just continually washes us and changes us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down arguments and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Christ speaks of the anointing. You know, stay obedient to the Holy Spirit. Let that Spirit of the Lord that's within you, you know, think from here. Don't always think from here. All kinds of thoughts go through our mind. They just fly through. But we can't, you know, they shouldn't build a nest there. We need to be led by the Spirit. We are spirit beings. We're sons and daughters of the Most High God. His Spirit dwells within us. We need to be looking to Him, listening to Him, being led by Him every day in the big ways, in the little ways. Hallelujah. Follow the Lord. He is the Lord of our life. Amen. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When you're walking after the Spirit, it's just those other things just don't happen. Galatians 3:26 says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. We have been birthed. By our new birth, we have been birthed into the kingdom of light. We have been birthed as sons and daughters of the Most High God. And because He lives within us, we have the very DNA of our Father. It's in there. Hallelujah. The DNA. Hallelujah. God's qualities, His life is within us. Hallelujah. It's the genetic material of the Father has been birthed in our spirits. It's there. At our house, we have a beautiful lawn all around our house. It's green. It's beautiful. It's just a lovely, lovely place. And right next to it is just barren, brown dirt, dry and barren. We never planted any grass seeds. We never planted a lawn. We just watered the ground through the years. We watered it and mowed it, and it has turned into a beautiful lawn. The very same seeds that are in our beautiful green grass are out there on that barren land. What's the difference? They were watered and cared for. And there's a vast difference between believers. Some are living they're lush, they're full, they have the victory, while others are dry and barren. And it depends, are they feeding their spirit? Are they feeding on the life? Are they drinking of the water? Are they eating of the Word of God? You know, we just need to feed ourselves to be flourishing in God's kingdom. Galatians 6:8 in the New Living Translation says, those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. We're going to be looking at some of the DNA traits of our Father and know that they're in us too. God is love. 1 John 3:16 says, God is love and He abides in love, abides in God and God in Him. So God is love. And then 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. And so when we have the love of God in us, that love just flows out. It's there. We love. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that love never fails. Never, ever, ever fails. Love just doesn't fail. And so God is love, and we are love because we're in Him. Hallelujah. That's one of the DNA traits of the Father that's within us. And God is light. James 1:17 says, every good And every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So where do good gifts come from and perfect gifts come? From the Father of light. Hallelujah. John 8:12, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So if we're following Jesus, we have the light of life. And going on to Matthew 5, we're going to read 14 through 16. It says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, for it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. God is light, Jesus is light, and who else is light? We. We are the light of the world. We are God's ambassadors here in the world. We are to shine with God's light. Hallelujah. How many ever sing that little song? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hallelujah. That's been a favorite for, I think, many generations. Jesus healed the sick and cast out devils. We're going to Matthew 4, 23 through 24. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went out through all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were affected with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics. And he healed them. Hallelujah. Jesus came to heal the sick and set the captive free. 1 John 3:8, the second half of the verse I'm going to read. It says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. And he came setting people that were demon-possessed free and healing the sick. Hallelujah. That's what he did. He set people free. Amen. In the Great Commission in Mark 16, Jesus said, in my name, they will cast out demons. That's us. We're those that believe. We will cast out demons, and they will lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Hallelujah. He's in here. He's the healer. He's the victor over every demonic spirit, and he's in here. And it's time for us to let that river flow of healing and deliverance to all the captives, because for that reason, Jesus came to set the captive free, to heal all manner of disease. That's why he came. And he has been birthed in our hearts. And his purpose hasn't changed. And it's his purpose that through the Jesus within us, that the sick be healed, that the oppressed be set free. That's the gospel in a nutshell. Hallelujah. In Matthew 28, in the Great Commission again, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And he said, now you go. He transferred that authority to his church, to his born-again believers. Hallelujah. We have the authority of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords behind us. You know, when a policeman is wearing their uniform, everybody knows that's a symbol of their authority. They're there representing the law. They're representing our nation's legal authority, and they have the sign of it. Well, we are here, and we should be wearing the authority that Jesus won. when he died and he went to hell and took the death keys of death and hell away from the devil, hallelujah, he gained the victory and he transferred that authority over to his children here on this earth. And Jesus healed the sick and cast out devils, and we heal the sick and cast out demons. God forgives. He has a forgiving nature. That's part of his DNA. John 8:3-11, we find the story of the woman caught in the act of adultery. And by the law of Moses, she had to be stoned. But Jesus told her accusers, "Who's here without sin? Let him cast the first stone." He forgave her. And then he said, hallelujah. I lost my place. Hallelujah. Anyway, he said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and know sin no more." And Jesus didn't condone her sin. He didn't say, "Oh, that sin's all right." But he forgave her and gave her the power to go forward without the sin. Hallelujah. He liberated her. Hallelujah. John 20:23 in the New Living Translation says, "If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." When we forgive people, it liberates us and it liberates them. There's liberty for us when we forgive someone, and there's liberty for the person that you forgive. It says when you forgive them, they're forgiven. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." And in Matthew 6:14, Jesus said, if after the Lord's Prayer, he says, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. So for us to be set free, we have to forgive. Amen. When we don't like somebody, or we think, well, that person doesn't like me, you know, Satan plays games with our mind. He just is real good at that. And we're always thinking, well, this person's thinking this or that, or I just don't really like that person. And to break that pattern of thought, whatever thoughts tormenting you, begin to pray for that person. Just begin every day to pray. Everything, every time it comes to your mind, just begin to pray for that person and you'll be set free. It'll just disappear. All those evil thoughts that Satan's trying to put in your head will just be gone. So God forgives and we forgive because we have his DNA in us. Jesus didn't judge. We're going to James 4:11-12. "Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. For he who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge one another?" And this is something we do so easy. You know, we just will look at someone else and, you know, immediately a judgment forms. And, you know, it says, who are you to judge one another? John 12:47. "And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him." This is Jesus speaking. "For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." I mean, if Jesus didn't judge, who are we to judge one another? Hebrews 10:30 says, "For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.' And again, the Lord will judge his people." If it's God's job to judge, then that's not our job. Hallelujah. Jesus said, the Father is the judge. But even Jesus said, I didn't come to judge. And in the likeness of Jesus, you know, we aren't called to judge either. And so Jesus didn't judge, and we don't judge. God reconciles men to himself. Although we don't judge people, we still have a responsibility to reconcile people to God when they are trapped in darkness. That's our job, to reconcile people. James 5:19-20 says, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Hallelujah. Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Jesus washed his disciples' feet because they were out walking in the earth, and they were out walking on the dirt roads, and their feet got dirty. So when they came, Jesus would wash their feet. And in the Bible days, no one washed feet but the servants. And you know, as we walk in this world, sometimes we get our feet dirty. You know, it just happens. We live in a dirty world. And sometimes as we walk in this world, we get our feet dirty. And we do need to wash one another's feet. But never as a judge, always as a servant. Always to do someone's service, to just bless them and help them and, you know, clean up the dirt that's gotten in their feet walking in the world. Hallelujah. So Jesus washed the disciples' feet. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. So as Jesus reconciled men to God, we reconcile men to God. You know, we have good news. People are under a heavy load of guilt and sin, and they don't need to stay that way. There's forgiveness. There's freedom. There's forgiveness. There's a new life, and that's such good news. Hallelujah. God reconciled, and we reconcile people. And the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, and the Holy Spirit also comes upon us. Remember when Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove? Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth. When we're born again, the Spirit of the Lord comes and dwells within us. When we're baptized in the Spirit comes up on us. We have the Spirit of the Lord within us for our benefit. But we have the Spirit of the Lord up on us for the benefit of others. See the difference? The Holy Spirit dwells within us for our benefit because he's there. But when he comes upon us, it's so that that Spirit will flow out and bless other people and set them free. Hallelujah. Isaiah 61, we're going to read 1-3. And this is a prophecy about Jesus. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And I'm going to go back over here to Acts. It says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, but the Holy Spirit came upon us as well. And his Spirit not only came upon us, it dwells within us. So we can read this scripture personally, and we say, The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord's anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. Do you know anyone that's been burned out? You know, they're just ashes. They've been burned out. God came to give them beauty, to exchange their ashes for beauty. The oil of joy for mourning. Hallelujah. God wants to turn our mourning into joy. And there's all kinds of reasons why we mourn. But God wants to take that upon himself. He wants to take that spirit of mourning, and he wants to fill us with the oil of joy. No matter what's going on, no matter what situation we're in, God wants to give us the joy. And he wants to use us to pour joy into other people's lives that are heavy with mourning. That's part of our job description as sons and daughters of the Most High. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. How many people in Douglas, Arizona have a spirit of heaviness on them? When you walk through Walmart, when you go around your duties, how many people just look like they're carrying the weight of the world on their shoulders? Hallelujah. God's purpose for them is to trade that spirit of heaviness for a garment of praise, that their lives will be turned around, that joy will come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's part of our job description as spirit-filled children of the Heavenly Father. That they may be called trees of righteousness. All these people that's walking around with heaviness, God wants them to be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. It says that he may be glorified. When people's lives are transformed, who is glorified? God is. You know, it's like all the glory always goes to God. You know, we're a vessel that he flows through, but all the glory goes to God. You know, when someone's healed, you know, they just, oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, God. God gets the glory. Even if the healing flowed through one of God's vessels, God gets the glory because it was his power. All deliverance, all victory, God is glorified. When people receive Jesus as their Savior, God is glorified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In whatever way God touches our life, we become a manifestation of that reality. When God touches our life with joy, it's contagious. It's just contagious. When God blesses us with peace, you know, when we're carrying the Prince of Peace within us and we have peace, and we're living in his peace, wherever we go, that peace flows out. You know, we just become a peacemaker. We become a peace. His peace comes. Whatever way God touches our life, we become a manifestation of that reality. As we give away what we receive, it multiplies. All heavenly blessings increased as they are released. You know, when we give away joy, joy grows in our life. When we give away peace, peace grows in our life. Whatever we give away grows and multiplies back in our own life. Luke 6:38 says, "Give, and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure you used, it will be measured to you again." In John 7, 37 and 38, it says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink, and out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." When we take a refreshing drink from God, that drink turns into a river. Hallelujah. Whatever heavenly blessings we received are multiplied. Hallelujah. And talking of the river, it's like when we receive the presence of the Lord and the glory of the Lord and His goodness, it's just like it fills us, and that needs to flow out then as a river to other people. We were never meant to dam up the blessings of God. That was never the purpose. That was never part of the kingdom. Whatever we receive, we give out. Whatever we receive flows out. And as it flows out, it gains in power. In Ezekiel, where it's prophesying about the river of God that's getting ready to rise, the river of revival, it says, wherever the waters touch is healed. Whatever they touch is healed. And as the river of God begins to flow out of us, whatever, you know, wherever that river touches, there will be healing. There will be emotional healing. There will be just heart healing, emotional healing, physically healing, financial healing. For the river of God flows, it brings life. And we are the vessels that God chose to let a river of the life, the river of God, flow through us. Hallelujah. We're going to Ephesians 1, and we're going to read 18 through 23. It says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power?" Not according to who we are or our abilities or where we're at, but according to His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places, far above. Everybody say far above. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He has put all things under His feet. Whose body are we? We're Christ's body. And the feet are part of His body. And so when He gained the authority, it says all things were put under His feet, which is us. Hallelujah, as the church. And gave Him, Jesus, to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. And I'm going to end with 1 Peter 2:9. It says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Hallelujah. Do you know that Jesus doesn't have any grandchildren? Everybody that's been born again is His child. There's just one generation since Jesus died on the cross and rose again. There's just been one generation, and we are part of that called generation. Hallelujah. We're a holy priesthood. We're a holy people. We're called by God. He has taken us out of the kingdom of darkness and placed us in the kingdom of His light. Hallelujah. And we shine as lights in the world with Jesus' power. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We just thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you. I thank you. I praise you, Lord. I praise you that this people is a special people called, hallelujah, called to walk in light, called to be the light of the world, called to set people free from heaviness and guilt and shame. Oh, Lord, we just praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you, Jesus. Oh, Lana Mishindo Ramanaya She. I want everyone to lift your hands to the Lord. Alamoande Ashe Linio Ashe Nihi Ramahai. And I want us to say, I'm going to say it, and then I want us to all say it together. Here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you that the anointing and power of the Holy Ghost will fall upon this people today. Oh, la karindo manaya she, for your spirit falls upon us. For others, that we might reach out and touch others. Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. If anybody has any special prayer needs, a request to the Lord today, we'd just be happy to pray with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you want prayer for any reason, just come forward right now and we'll pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Ramalili, oh, Mananania, Romodiai, Aliai, and oh, Barayalani, oh, Romodiai. Oh, Lanamanini, Raiho, Ravea, Shayli, oh, Ravalariai. Indoraba hai ali ai roho mahalaria roboshi andai roboshi. Oh la hai ali ashi hilia hai. God wants us as his people to stand in the gap for our community, for Douglas, Arizona. Douglas has been full of all kinds of unrighteousness for generations. Before there was even a town here, there was a wagon train that came through here from Agua Prieta to Tombstone carrying illegal liquor. And there was battles fought over it. And for years and years, there's been drug battles fought. Blood spilled upon our land. And God's calling us as a people to stand in the gap, to repent in association, hallelujah, with those sins that's been committed in our land, that we might be free, that we might be free, that the river of God might flow in this place. Oh, that every stronghold of the enemy will fall and that people will find freedom, that it'll be so easy to come to Jesus, so easy to turn life over to the Lord. Father, we thank you. Lord, we will be your people. When you show us a stronghold, when you deal with us, we will take time to cry out for our community, to be that one that stands in the gap. Oh, hallelujah, that people may come to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Well, Father, I just thank you. We lift up and exalt your name here in Douglas, Arizona, Lord, and we thank you. We thank you. We just lift up the name of Jesus, and we exalt the name of Jesus that's high above every other name that is named. We exalt your name. We'll worship you. We'll praise you. We'll be a light shining bright in this place, Lord. Oh, la karindo raboshi. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. That the light is more powerful than the darkness. Well, the light dispels the darkness, and we thank you for it, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, go out and shine bright. Let Jesus' light shine bright through you, and those that can be here at 6 o'clock tonight for worship, well, we'll see you then. God bless you. Go shine.